I am so thankful to be here today and to be able to bring the Word of God to you at such a time as this, and it's my privilege to be here. I wanted to say just a little bit about my family. I am married. My wife's name is Amy. Amy's a professor of nursing at Ohio University Southern, just down the road in Ironton. And we recently just moved back to the area in August, so we are still a little bit disoriented. But so glad to be back. As Pastor Larry shared, I'm from Wheelersburg, so I'm from the tri-state area, and just glad to be home and being able to pour back into this school that has meant so much to me over the years and invested such a quality biblical education into my life. I can't speak enough of how much I love Tri-State Bible College and how much I have benefited from the school. Amy and I have three children. We have Delaney, who is 10, Betsy, who is 8, and Mac, who is 6. And we are learning how to balance in-school learning and e-learning and working and all those things. So if you're a family and you're like, how do I juggle all these things? I get it. Totally get it. And may God be gracious to us and bless us and guard us and be gracious to us and fill us with joy and peace. Amen. But I want to thank your church on behalf of the college. I was looking at your church profile on our database, and if the numbers are right, and I think that the people who put them in are pretty good at what they do, since 2017, you all have given almost $9,000 to Tri-State Bible College, and I want to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity and your kindness to us. We are passionate about training students to become Christian workers and ministers in our area, in our tri-state area, so that we can have strong churches. And you are a big part of that. So thank you very much for your partnership and your faithfulness to our school. And to me, I mean, I'm a product. I'm someone who benefited from churches like you. And so to see that on paper and to know how kind you've been to us, it really makes me thankful. You've heard of a guy named Steve Jobs, I'm sure. And there's another Steve that worked with him, Wozniak, I'm not sure how to say his last name, I always get confused on that. But they, you know how they started this company, Apple, is they sold a couple things and got about $1,300 together, and they started Apple. And right after they started, they wanted to recruit a guy, his name was John Sculley. And at that time, he was the president of PepsiCo. And John, he just did not see any reason that he should leave a highly paid, settled position in a world-leading company to go work with a bunch of computer nerds in a fledgling industry. He just, you know, why would I do that? And, but Steve Jobs, he would just not leave him alone. He wouldn't take no for an answer. He went to him once, went to him twice, went to him a third time. He approached him again in a last-ditch effort. He passionately presented his vision for Apple to Sculley, and he said, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world? What do you want to do? And brothers and sisters, let me say something. We have a heavenly citizenship. Have we forgotten? We have a high calling. We have the highest calling. We have the best citizenship in the kingdom of God. We are sons and daughters of God. We are stewards of the mission of Christ. We are his shepherds and his servants, his friends. And he's called us. He's called us. And so do you want to sell sugared water? Or do you want to change the world? I mean, we can get caught up, and I do too. We can get caught up and distracted with the other citizenships. And not that they don't matter, but there's a higher one. There's a higher one that affects the lower ones and how we live. And where we want to go today in the scriptures is Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to find a need in the text. You know, this is Paul's epistle of joy. He's talking about how Our joy needs to be liberated. The joy of our heavenly citizenship can be liberated no matter our circumstances. Remember that when Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he was in prison. He was imprisoned for the gospel. And I've made it a point during COVID, ever since this started, when I was pastoring Illinois, to go back and say, boy, I need to study the prison epistles if I'm going to live successfully during these days. Amen? I mean, how did Paul keep going during those days? Because I need to know. This is hard. This is different. It's unusual. It's confusing. So I just went back and started in Colossians, went to Philemon, and now I'm in Philippians. And I just want to know how to live for Christ during these challenges so that these obstacles can be opportunities for the advance of the gospel. And so he's in prison, and he's writing this letter to a group of people who are really good citizens. The Philippian people were army vets. I mean, people who had served courageously in the wars, in the civil wars of the empire. They are supporters of former leaders. They are well off. They're a port city. They had a gold deposit that was found in a nearby region, so they were resourceful and prosperous. They had hot springs, which were pleasure for the citizens of Philippi. They were a place, it was a place you wanted to live. It was a city that you wanted to be a part of. And in this book, Paul is testing the citizenship of the Philippians. And brothers and sisters, we probably say we feel like we live in the greatest nation in the world. My grandpa was a World War II vet, served in Germany, one of the greatest men I know. But still, there is a higher citizenship, even than being an American. And Paul's writing, he's writing to the Philippians because he knew that they cared about their citizenship in the empire, but he wanted to call them higher because he knew that if they embraced that higher calling, they would make an earthly difference. And so the biblical idea for today, just as a summary of the text, is that Paul tested the Philippian believers' resolve to stand firm in their heavenly citizenship. Let me read it to you. In verse 17 of the ESV, and I hope you at home, wherever you are, there's the camera, get your Bibles out. Let's open them up. Even if it's on your phone, that's all right. Let's get our Bibles out. Let's read the scriptures together. Philippians 3, verse 17, Paul writes, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus, or in this way, in the Lord, my beloved." And as we break down the text, we've got an outline up on the screen for you. We're going to look at verse 17 first. And here's where he commands the heavenly citizens of Philippi to imitate him and others who are decisively, they have a decisive spirituality. They decisively stretch forward. They stretch onward and upward toward the goal, which is the resurrection from the dead. I mean, this is their laser focus. He's saying you need to imitate those leaders who have a laser focus, a decisive, mature spirituality, who are set on the resurrection, and that is their goal. They're pursuing Christ hard toward the resurrection from the dead. And you want to imitate those. And so earlier in the book, we see this example given by Christ himself in chapter 2. If we were just review, you want to imitate Christ. And the word here, to imitate, it's actually be a fellow imitator with us. So the one that they're imitating is Christ. And we see Christ in chapter 2, and what's his trajectory? His trajectory is that down goes up. Because what did our Lord do in chapter 2, verse 6? What's it say? Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself to being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted, you see. It was through humility. It was through humbling himself. It was through taking on the form of a servant of all that then God therefore highly exalted. So this is what we want to imitate. Paul did the same thing. He had all this social capital, this earthly branded righteousness that he talks about earlier in chapter 3. He says in verse 4, though I myself might have reason for confidence in the flesh, also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Here's my impressive list, God. But he takes all that earthly branded righteousness, social capital, and says it's trash. Brother and sister, what is your list? What's your impressive list? When you start to go down and you say, God, look at my list. Paul's response when he looked at his list was, it's trash. Compared to what? Compared to, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, my Lord. I've suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith. I'm decisively pursuing the resurrection of Christ. That's what I'm about. And so Paul says, imitate us as we imitate him. Earlier, if you want to study this, Timothy and Epaphroditus were other examples of those who were imitating Christ. So join, he says, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk this way, those who are decisively headed toward the resurrection. They're not distracted. And then he, secondly, offers a report. In verse 18, he reports and he warns in this report. He says, sadly, for many of whom I've often told you, often reported, now tell you even with tears, with weeping, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. And see, the thing is, not everybody is focused on the resurrection of Christ. Not everyone is focused in counting all things as loss. Except for we want to acquire the gain of knowing Christ. Not everyone's doing that. Some have become enemies of the cross. Now, listen, it's enemies of the cross. It's not that they disagree with me over the economy. It's not that they disagree with me with the military strategy. It's not that they disagree with me on health care. It's that they're enemies of the cross. Know what the real enemy is. Don't get distracted. You see, those who are enemies of the cross, look at verse 19 with me, their end, their goal, their outcome is hell. Destruction, the pit of destruction. Their God is their appetite. Always craving more and more and more, and self and self and self and self, and me and me and me and me and me. Forget about you, forget about God. They glory in their shame. Their radiance is their public nakedness, so to speak. They glory in shameful behavior, shameful deeds, things that are opposite the cross. With minds, here we go, with minds set on earthly things. It was good to be a Philippian. But if their appetite and their glory and their minds are set on the gold deposit in Mount Pangaeo, if their minds and their appetites and their glory and their goal is to be known as an Empire War veteran, there's a higher calling. There's a higher calling. There's a better glory. There's a better appetite. There's a better goal. There's a better mindset, one that's higher. Paul offers this in verse 20. He contrasts the earthly citizenship of those hostile to Christ with the heavenly citizenship to which the Philippian believers belong. You see, he's calling them higher. He contrasts in verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. The city to which we belong is heavenly. The country that is our homeland is where Christ is, you see. That's my heritage. I was born anew into it. I was adopted into that family. The values and the systems and the structures, that's what governs my life. Wherever I am, no matter the adversity or the circumstances, I am a citizen of heaven. That's my home. And what good news this is, because look, no matter how good our families are, our nation is, our jobs, careers, there's brokenness everywhere. I mean, I'd love to sit for the next 45 minutes and talk to you about the brokenness in my life, because it would benefit me. And it's real. But at the same time, I've been offered by grace this place in this citizenry of heaven. And it gives me hope. It gives me joy. It gives me focus. It teaches me how to treat other people. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's located there. And from it, from heaven, from this city, if you will, this population, we expect and await a Savior. You see, the Savior is not Donald Trump. And it is not Joe Biden. And it's not even the Constitution. As much as I love it and think it's the best piece of human written literature outside the Bible, maybe. I mean, we the people's a great statement. Do ordain. That's good. It's not as good as this, because this is eternal. It's lasting. It will far outlast America. We await a Savior from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and risen and is coming back. You see, we await a Savior from heaven. I do not expect things to get all that much better no matter who's in office. Why? Because we live in a fallen world, and until the Savior comes and sets up his kingdom fully and finally, it's going to be about the same. Hell, maybe it could get harder. We have brothers and sisters in other countries who face far more difficulty than we do. That's okay. We can deal with harder, can't we? Purifies us, gives us more focus. Paul's in prison, don't forget that. We can read this and forget he's sitting in a prison cell because he's so full of joy. But when adversity comes, no matter how, in what manner, we can advance the gospel. We can find a way to be bold. We can find niche groups that still need the gospel. He talks about soldiers that he gets to minister to, and if he wasn't in the prison, he wouldn't have been able to get to minister to the soldiers. And lastly, so he has a heavenly passport while living in an earthly colony. He hopes for a heavenly Savior from our earthly exile. He holds to heavenly power for the transformation of his earthly body, for our earthly bodies. And this is a reference to the resurrection of the dead of the saints. Verse 21, who he will transform our lowly body. Death can't even defeat us. We'll be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things, including death, to himself. Hallelujah. The last thing in the text, chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, because of this, so he reasons, because of this citizenship, and it's true, I'm going to command you to do something. And he's going to do it with affection. Look at all the affectionate terms he uses. He says, my brothers, whom I love, whom I long for or desire, you are my joy, my crown, my beloved. Look at how he layers the affection on top of the command. Isn't that wonderful? He says, stand firm. Stand firm in your heavenly calling. Sometimes we get distracted in life from our heavenly citizenship. There's a guy, he had a new Jag. He was driving the new Jag down a city street. You know, if I had a new Jag, I'd probably be smiling. Anyway, he's driving, and all of a sudden, thud, he heard something hit his car. He just got it. He slams on the brakes, gets out of the car. He sees a kid, apparently, his hand was kind of up, and obviously he was the one who'd thrown the rock. He gets out of the car, and he starts screaming at the kid, what do you think you're doing? He says, mister, I'm so sorry. I needed help. My brother in his wheelchair, it flipped over, and I'm not strong enough to get him back, and I didn't know how to stop and get help, except I saw your car, so I threw the rock. All of a sudden, the guy stopped. And he helped. He wiped off the scrapes of his brother, and he helped him get back up. And he said, I never got that dent fixed. It was just a constant reminder that I was living too fast, not paying attention. You know, we can get distracted from our identity, who we are as a people, what our decisive focus is. Don't get distracted. See, we are an earthly colony of heavenly citizens. We want to stand firm by imitating Christ and those who lead like Christ. Today, it's Pastor Appreciation Month. Praise the Lord for men who lead well, who imitate Christ. And here's what I want to say, a timeless truth for you. This is true always. Wherever you are, you live in America, you live in China, you live in Tanzania, wherever you live, this is true. Christ is the situation of your citizenship. He's the situation that you live in. So many times Paul will say, in Christ. In chapter 4, he'll say, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. He says, in. You see, your circumstance, your situation, Paul's situation was not imprisonment. His situation was Jesus Christ. And that, as heavenly citizens, that is always the case. We are always in Christ, and he is always governing our situation. You know, our situation is not dependent on Joe Biden restoring the soul of America. Our situation is not dependent on Donald Trump making America great again. Our situation is Jesus Christ. Always. Say, well, I need some practical advice. Okay, here's your practical advice. Look at the platforms of both parties. Study them. Go online, the RNC and DNC. Study both of them. Decide which party you want to belong to. Here's the important point. Be self-critical of your party. That's what we don't do. Let me say it again. Be self-critical of your party. It's easy to throw stones at the other party. Criticize your party. You see, we get better when we're open to constructive criticism. And then go vote. And trust the Lord. There's my practical advice. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. So what are we doing today? I want to give you five ways to answer the call to heavenly citizenship. We want to answer this call. Paul has called us. He says, imitate and stand firm. Imitate and stand firm. Don't be an enemy of the cross of Christ. Imitate and stand firm in this superior calling of heavenly citizenship. Five ways. Number one, walk. Walk with Christian leaders who have that decisive, who are making that decisive move toward the resurrection. Walk with them. Walk with them. This is just code for get discipled by them. Be trained by them. This is why I went to Tri-State Bible College. I was a new Christian at 19 years old, didn't know a thing about the Bible, wanted to know more, lived just a terrible life. We're in Huntington. I'll be vulnerable here. I used to go to the Wild Dog all the time. I don't know if anybody else. I mean, that's where I hung out on the week, Thursday through Sunday. I was there. I mean, that was my life. But when I came to Christ, everything was new. It was different. I was changed. But I didn't know how to do it. And I looked for people who had that. I didn't know. I wouldn't say it this way at the time, but I was looking for someone who knew what they were doing. They knew how to follow Jesus. They had that decisive outlook toward the resurrection. Walk with such people. Number two, weep. Weep about those who are hostile to the cross. Paul says this with tears. He doesn't say it with laughter or some sort of sadistic joy. He weeps at the prospect of people going into a Christless eternity. Church, are we too distracted that we've forgot the global mission? I mean, I rarely hear it talked about anymore. Have we forgotten there's still unreached people? Never heard the name of Jesus before. Have we forgotten those who have gone and who feel alone over there with unreached people? Don't forget the mission. Weep about lost people. And I'm looking in the mirror on this. When I first got saved, I made a list of over 100 people that I knew did not know Jesus, and it broke my heart. But the longer we're Christians, we kind of lose that. Paul didn't. He's weeping still. He's near death, still weeping for lost people. Number three, wait. Hope hopefully. Psalm 40. Hope hopefully for the Savior's return and for the resurrection. Wait for that. If you're going to wait for something, if you're going to long for something, if you're going to yearn for a big event, let that be it. Let that be the thing. Wait for the Savior's return. See, if you're waiting for that, it has a very practical outcome because you don't get distracted with things that are counterfeits to that, that promise something they really can't deliver. You see, you're waiting for the Savior from heaven. Welcome other believers with affectionate fellowship. Don't miss how affectionate he is, how he speaks so kindly to them. Welcome one another. Be hospitable to one another. Be gentle, kind, peaceful, patient, loving, self-controlled, faithful, filled with the Spirit. And then lastly, withstand adversity in the Lord. Withstand adversity in the Lord. Stand firm in your situation, which is your heavenly citizenship in Jesus Christ. Let your joy be set free, okay? Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. I know there's enough to get discouraged about, right? Amen? Anybody say amen to that? There's enough to be discouraged about. But don't get discouraged. Be encouraged, because Christ hasn't changed, and all that you have in him, all the glorious riches and wealth in him has not changed. And it won't. It won't change. Tri-State Bible College, let me tell you just a little bit about it. God used Tri-State Bible College in my life. I'm just borrowing the language from the sermon today because it fits. It helped me become serious about my call. And when I say serious, I don't mean boring. I mean decisive. Like it focused my walk with Christ. I learned the Bible. We go through every book of the Bible in the curriculum. I learned the core doctrines of the faith. I learned ministry skills. I learned Greek and Hebrew at Tri-State Bible College. I learned all, and I met men and women who cared about me and my ministry. And so God used it as a place where my heavenly citizenship really took focus. I began to know what it was. And so I just promote it to you without shame. I promote it to you wholeheartedly. I have benefited from Tri-State Bible College. And my family has, my friends have, because of its influence in my life. I love the school. And what we're trying to do, the next slide, we are trying to amplify access to biblical training that's effective. That's what we're trying to do. We have in-person classes in South Point, Ohio, and in Akron, Ohio. And then we are more and more becoming equipped for remote learning. We do have a lot of remote learning opportunities, but we're getting more and more. Something you can pray about is it looks like we may get a fairly decent-sized grant that will help us buy some of the equipment we need to advance in that way. And so it's an exciting time. It's not an easy time to be a Bible college. Some people are like, why did you come back here? Because I love the school. Whatever God has for it, I want to be a part of it. So I have some information out there if you want to know more. I'll be around to talk, obviously. But let me pray, and then I don't know what's next. Rob, are you coming next?
Our church regularly supports Tri-State Bible College, and so we thought it important as church leaders to invite Tri-State to come and share their ministry with you today so that you could find out a little more about them. You know, they do offer the full degrees, but it's something where if there's just something you're curious about that you want to learn more about the scriptures, you can go and take a class or audit a class. And so it kind of has the best of both worlds there. But if the Lord is prompting your heart with curiosity, do please stop by and talk to Rex out in the lobby after the service.